Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
I love to watch the occasional action movie. And what we'll do sometimes, we've got really good friends who oversee us, Rob and Joe, who live in Kendal. And when it's a school holiday sometimes, we'll take the kids up there, the kids can all run wild. And we'll chill out and we'll watch movies together. And, you know, what we'll tend to do is we'll watch a kind of... You've nailed it. If you can get an action movie when there's something for the girls as well. You know, so the boys get to watch a bit of action, but it's also a bit of eye candy or a bit of romance, in the, you know, a bit of a romantic backstory for the girls. But one of my favourite movies is John Wick. I don't know if you've seen that movie. The body count in that movie is absolutely ridiculous. You know, somebody kills his dog. You know, his wife dies of cancer. She leaves him this kind of pet dog to look after, which is it's the only thing he cares about. And these Russian bad guys come and they nick his car and they kill his dog, man. And you just think, oh, no. And the rest of the movie is just dedicated to John Wick out on this mission to take down these mob bosses. They call him the boogeyman. What's he say? Baba Yaga. Something like that. My Russian, Baba Yaga. He goes, oh, he's the bogeyman. No, he's the guy who sent to kill the bogeyman. He once killed three men with pencil. With a pencil. You know, these mafia guys are quaking in the boots. John Wick's out of retirement. He killed three men with a pencil. You know, and you're just thinking, and you're watching this movie thinking, yes, 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 yes. Every single bad guy that goes down, you just think, you're with him all the way. You know, you killed his dog. You bad guys, you killed his dog. And then I think about another one of my favourite movies is Man on Fire, Denzel Washington. Has anyone seen that one? Oh, mate, that is Denzel at his finest. Equalizer. I mean, I like the Equalizer. It's like, okay, but it's like a poor man's Man on Fire. You know, this Man on Fire, you know, Denzel Washington plays this ex-FBI agent. He's kind of hollow inside. He's done a lot of bad stuff. He's seen a lot of bad stuff. And he's hollow inside. He turns to drink to chase away the demons in his head. And he kind of connects with this little girl that he's the bodyguard for. And she calls him Creasy Bear. And they have this little relationship. And it's the only thing, you know, he's a hard man. He doesn't really care. But he gets this connection with this little girl. And she gets abducted. And the rest of the movie is just devoted to Denzel Washington going after these bad guys, these Mexican mafia, you know. And there's a scene where one of these, there's this big fat sleazy lawyer that was involved in it. And he wakes up, he's unconscious, and he wakes up on this motorway bridge. And Denzel Washington's wearing a blue glove and holding the pin to a hand grenade. And you just think, oh no, what a way to go. And as he's walking away from this guy, he just explodes, you know. And you just think, man. You know, it's just crazy. Now, the reason why I like those kind of movies, and we, like, admit it, we do like these kind of movies, don't we? The reason why we like these kind of movies is because there's something innate within us that demands justice. There's just something inside us that is made in God's image, and we just want justice. There's an innate sense of, but we want to see justice done. So when we see Denzel wiping out these bad guys, we don't see them as kind of, we don't worry, oh, that's somebody's dad, or that's somebody's father, or that's somebody's son. We just see it black and white. Bad guy gets killed, bad guy gets killed, bad guy gets killed. That's it. That's what the bad guys deserve. Bad guys deserve to get killed. Yeah, that is what we think. We don't worry about it. We don't think, oh, really sad for, you know, his mum or his kids and stuff like that. And it's right, though, because we're made in God's image, it is absolutely right for us to get riled up and feel angry about the wrong things. So that's why those movies have appealed to us, because it's okay to get riled up about bad things. Our God gets riled up about bad things. God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. I don't know if anybody's seen this meme going about on Facebook. I saw it last year. I've not seen it this year. But somebody shared it. It was non-Christian. And it said, it's Easter. Let's celebrate like Jesus and whip a few bankers. And it's just this idea of Jesus going into the temple, turning over the tables and just whipping these kind of greedy bankers, these greedy money changers, you know. It's Easter. Let's celebrate like Jesus would. You know, and Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. It's okay. It is okay to get angry about the wrong things. So these guys, when Jesus walks into the temple courts, he sees these guys abusing his father's house. He sees these guys exploiting poor people. He sees these guys being a barrier to people coming into a relationship with God. And it makes him so angry. John chapter 2 verse 15. He makes a whip out of cords. And he goes in there and he goes ballistic. He goes Liam Neeson. He goes John Wick. He's kicking over the tables. And he's lashing these people with the cords. I'm telling you now, when we think about this story, what picture do we get? He made a whip out of some cords. What do you think actually happened in the temple courts that day? Do you think no blood was shed? Do you think nobody was injured? Do you think they would flee in terror if there was no threat there? Jesus whipped these people out of his father's house. Yet he never sinned. That was not a sin. Jesus still loved, I believe, every greedy money changer that took a lash to the back or a whip to the bum or whatever. You know, every single one of those guys, Jesus loved. Jesus loved them. But there is nothing wrong with being angry about poor people being exploited. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So we read about this a couple of weeks ago. Psalm 89:14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne." Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus did that. That was right. We take our sense of right and wrong from the Bible. Jesus did that, and that was right. I've heard people say silly things on Alpha like, "Oh, well, Jesus sinned. Jesus sinned. What about when he turned the money tables over and he started whipping people?" Yeah, man, that was right. That was right. That's in the Bible. Jesus never sinned. That happened. That's fine. That's okay. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." He still loved, and he's been faithful to his father. He still loved those people. He was later to go and stretch his arms wide open on the cross for some of those guys, you know. So you can't say that he didn't love them. Deuteronomy 32, 35 says this: "It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes on them." God will repay. As Christians, we've got this amazing hope that all the justice and all the suffering and all the bad stuff that we see in the world, it's temporary. And actually, one day, all these bad guys are going to have to stand before a God of justice. And they're going to have to give an account, not just for all the bad things they've done. They have to give an account for every careless word. Slanging someone off behind the back. It's bad. It's bad, every careless word. Romans 12:19, though, does say, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath." Again, God is a God of wrath. God does have this side to him that he's angry. But the Bible tells us, don't you guys do it. Don't you guys go doing a John Wick yourselves. Don't you guys go vigilante. You don't need to. Because God is a God of justice. And the things that make you angry are the same things that make God angry. So what you need to do is you need to leave room for God's wrath. So Ephesians 4:26 tells us that we can be angry without sinning. So Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." In your anger, do not sin. So there's a way to be angry without sinning. We can be angry about stuff without sinning. But I think it's very difficult. That's why Paul says, leave room for God's wrath. I want to take you on a little thought experiment. I want to try and see if I can just get some kind of emotional connection with you guys, kind of. I want you to think about this. There was a story a couple of years ago in the paper about an older lady, late 80s, drug addict, broke into a flat. And instead of stealing the money, he basically subdued it. You know, he was there for days. And he did some pretty nasty, pretty mean stuff to this old lady. And it wasn't just for money. This guy was messed up. It wasn't just for money. This guy took pleasure out of taking power over the powerless. This guy was twisted. This guy was really twisted. And what happened was, it was meant to go to Crown Court, but somebody leaked his name on social media, which meant that he wouldn't get a fair trial. So then he got seen at magistrates, and he got off with a much lighter sentence than he should have done. How does that make you feel? When you hear stories like that, does that just twist your guts and just think, oh, what a scumbag. What a scumbag. Give me a baseball bat, 10 minutes locked in a room with him. What a scumbag. You know, that's what you think, isn't it? You just think, oh, that guy got away with it. That guy got away with it. Sometimes I can't remember. Sometimes you see these guys who've been in fights and stuff, and somebody's been punched and killed and stuff, and you see them walking free from court sometimes, just with contempt, smoking a cig, sticking fingers up at the cameras, and you just think, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Justice was not done in this instance. Justice wasn't done. I just, oh. The reason why we feel like this is because we are made in God's image. We are made in God's image, and it is right to feel furious about these kind of miscarriages of justice. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get all them scumbags up? Round up all the scumbags. Wouldn't it be great if we could just go around the world, go around our communities, go around our estates with bats and just round up all the scumbags. Let's round up all the scumbags. Let's get them. And let's ship them off somewhere else. You know, let's just ship them off. It's not our problem anymore, but we'll find them. We'll find you. If you're a bad person, we will find you and we will take you and we will ship you off somewhere else. And our society will be a better place without people like you. Well, who do we round up? Where do we start? Do we start with the murderers, right? You've killed someone, right? We know you're a murderer. You know, do we start with sexual predators, right? Yes, you're on the list. Get him. Yeah? Where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line when we're rounding these guys up? In the 1700s, we did exactly the same thing. We said, let's round up all the scumbags. All the thieves, all the scumbags. Let's round them up. Let's stick them on a ship and let's send them to Australia. Get rid of them. Let's send them to the other side of the world. They're not our problem. Stick them on this island on the other side of the world. Well done, guys. Well done. We've just created the most law-abiding society. Do you know that? Australia is statistically the most law-abiding country in the world. Yeah, that's where we took all our scumbags. Put them on boats and ship them off to Australia. That'll do the trick, won't it? It didn't work, did it? That's just such an ironic twist, isn't it? That now the Australian nation is one of the most law-abiding countries on earth. And you're not allowed in there if you're a scumbag. You're not, no scumbags, please. We're okay. I love watching Border Patrol. It's just called no scumbags allowed. You can't even sneak in scummy things like drugs. You can't even sneak in mushrooms from other countries. You know, they're so hot on it, the Australians. We will protect our citizens from scumbags like you. We will protect our agriculture industry from mites. You ever see these Chinese, I don't know what it is with these mushrooms, anybody watch it? Just these Chinese people, oh yes, no, I've got nothing to declare. And you open a suitcase, it's just full of mushrooms. Chinese mushrooms, and just like, what is this? Why would you do that? Oh, I didn't know. And you just think, you did know. And we have to write you up a $300 fine today, love. I'm really sorry. It's just amazing, aren't the Australians? I just love Australia for that. I'm not allowed to go, by the way. I'm a scumbag. I will never go to Australia. I'm a scumbag. I've been in prison for robbery, violent crime. No, I'm not allowed to go to Australia. I'm not allowed to go to America. If Nicola would have knew this before she married me, and this trip to Disneyland USA was never going to happen, I don't think she would have married me. She says it in jest all the time. All the time she says it. I'm beginning to think it's not a joke. The amount of stuff she says to me, I wish this would have come up on marriage prep. I wish I would have known about this on marriage prep, Damien. You don't like holidays. You can't go to America. You can't go to Australia. What can we do? It's just nuts, isn't it? It's just nuts. So the question is, if we're going to eradicate the world of scum and bad guys, where do we draw the line? Well, Jeremiah 17:9 says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Have you got a heart inside your chest? Yes, that is you. That is what Jeremiah is saying. Your heart is desperately wicked and beyond cure. Who knows what goes on in there? Oh, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it? What goes on in our hearts. That's us. That's every single one of us. You've got a heart beating in your chest. That is your condition. You're desperately wicked. Who knows the heart? Who can know about it? Well, Jesus does, doesn't he? Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't he? So Matt said last week, he was talking about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, good teacher, what must a man do to inherit eternal life? And what does Jesus say? Why do you call me good? No one is good. You're all bad guys. You are all bad guys with wicked hearts. You are all bad guys. And then Jesus takes it a step further when he's talking about approaching God with confidence and asking God for good gifts. Jesus says, you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more God? How much more God? If you evil guys, I've heard people try and walk this down and say, well, what he's actually trying to say is, compared to God's goodness, your badness seems like evil. No. Let's not water this down and try and wriggle out of this. Jesus says, we're all bad guys, we're all evil, and it's the heart that is the issue. It's the heart that is the issue. And the other issue is, just to add to this, when we're asking the question, where do we draw the line? Who do we ship off to the other side of the world? Who are we? Who are we to draw any lines? Who do we think we are? Are we God? Who do we think we are to be drawing lines? Who are we to decide? Who are we to decide where that line is? Much better to leave room for God's wrath and for God's mercy and for God's justice. Now, it'd be really easy today to go into kind of the three-point gospel sermon, wouldn't it? So I could start off and I could say, well, you know, at the end of the day, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, and then we would move on to the wages of sin is death. And then we say, but it pivots on a but. And that's true. You know, that is true. You know, the gift of God is eternal life. I was thinking, I went to Whitehaven last week. I shared a bit of my testimony with the guys. And I was struck by, without going back into it, because I know you guys have heard it, but I came to a realization that through my own behavior, the way I was carrying on, fighting my stepdad, getting in trouble with the police, drinking, drugs, all the rest of it, I found myself in a situation where I realized that my own family, my own mum, and my brothers and my sister were upstairs in our house hiding from me because they knew I was going to come home high as a kite, drunk as a skunk. I was going to find John, my stepdad, and there's a reason for this. It's not an excuse. There's a reason for this. You know, all the alcoholism, all the domestic violence and things like that. I was going to come home as high as a kite, off my head. I was going to fill him in. I've been doing it for months and months and months and months and months, coming home fighting with my stepdad. And I came home this night and I realised that they'd all gone to bed. And John was an absolute, he was a scumbag. He'd be on that boat as far as I'm concerned. And he deserved everything he got from me. But what I hadn't realised was the effect my behaviour had had on my mum and my brothers and my sister. So the idea I would come home one night and find John hiding upstairs from me was like, yeah, that's right. Big, you know, yes. That made me feel good, made me feel like a big man. The idea that I would come home and find my entire family upstairs hiding from me just broke me. Absolutely broke me. I remember standing in the front room in that house and I just closed my eyes and I just said, what kind of animal have I become? And as I closed my eyes like this, the darkness in front of my eyes just opened up and I realised that my life had been consumed by darkness. And I realised that I was stood in the middle of this sea of darkness. And at that time, I didn't know if heaven or hell was real. But I knew that if hell was real and I died tonight, then I was going. That's where my destination was. And that just terrified me. That thought, it just terrified me. I just felt fear like I've never felt before. I know, I thought I was pretty handy in that. I felt fear, man. I remember just falling to my knees, reaching out to God and just saying, God, if you're real, only you can help me. God, if you're real, please, only you can help me. And I must have put my heart out for God for a long time. I can't even remember what I was saying. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I ended up in prison for robbery and possession of a firearm. And I met God in an amazing way. Absolutely fantastic way. God revealed himself to me. Bam. That's fantastic, isn't it? Do you know what? You know what, right? If nothing changed in my life from realising I was lost in that sea of darkness, if I'd have died and gone to hell the next day, that would have been justice. That would have been right. That would have been fair. I would have only got what I deserved to wake up, stood before a holy God who says, bam, you're done, you're done. I'm a God of justice and you're a scumbag. I would have only got what I deserved. That would have been justice. That would have been justice. The gospel. And you know something? That's even good news, isn't it? Isn't it good news that God deals with scumbags? Isn't it good news that God is a God of justice? It's just that when you're on the wrong side of it, it doesn't feel like good news for you, does it? Well, that's right. That's the gospel, man. That is part of the gospel, that God deals with sinners. God didn't have to break into my life. God didn't have to reveal himself to me. And actually, you might not have a dramatic story of how God revealed himself to you, but if you're in this room today, it's a fair bet you know God. And it's only by his grace that he broke into your life and he revealed himself to you. He didn't have to do any of that, did he? He didn't have to. It was no obligation. Let's have this right. Oh, call yourself a God of love. We've got nothing to say to God. We've not got a leg to stand on. How could you let me perish? We have not got a leg to stand on before our holy God. We're only in this room by the grace of God. And we're only in this room because of Jesus. We're only in this room because of Jesus Christ. Crucified, died on the cross, but not only that, resurrected. Oh, goodness me. Do you know, I felt the other day, we've been through this Isaiah 6, I'm going, this is the full gospel, guys. You've got to give them the bad news. If you don't, you know, you can't just give them the good news, guys. We need to give them the bad news as well. We need to tell people, Isaiah 6, we need to tell people how glorious God is, how sinful they are. This, we need to give people the full gospel, this, that, and the other. Do you know the one thing that wasn't in there, the full gospel? The resurrection. This is just done a series on Isaiah 6. We'll call this the full gospel. No, it's not the full gospel, Damien. What an idiot. The gospel is, this is the cherry on the cake, isn't it? This is what Easter Sunday's all about. 6-point gospel in Isaiah 6. You missed out number 7, mate. Jesus is risen. He is resurrected. And God only breaks into your life because Jesus died and rose again. That is why God comes into your life. That's why God plucks you out of darkness. If Jesus would have said, no, do one, I'm not dying for these people, Jesus had every right to say that. He wouldn't have been less glorious. He wouldn't have been any less God if he'd have said, you know what? No, I don't fancy that. I don't fancy being nailed to a cross for an ungrateful and unruly and wicked generation. No, thank you. Jesus had every right to say that. Sometimes we're just so spoiled. I don't know what we think sometimes. What do we think? We live in a world that says, I know my rights. I know my rights. You can't do this to me. You can't treat me like this. You can't say that to me. I find that theology offensive. So what? So what? We live in such a self-entitled world. It's an alien concept to them. That God could, didn't, you know, God was under no obligation to save anyone. Bottom line, God is under no obligation to save anyone. But he did. But he did. I love the things that pivot on a butt. but he did, didn't he? But he only did it because Jesus Christ is resurrected. And he only does it through Jesus. Through Jesus, through Jesus, every time. You know, because of the resurrection, we have got, if you're Christian today, you have got, and it goes for the youngest to the oldest, not pointing my fingers, you have got Christ inside you. Lee's buzzing there. Lee's like, oh yeah, I picked on that guy. Yeah. If you are a Christian today and you have been plucked out of darkness and you've been saved by Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have the same power. You've got resurrection power inside you. We should be the happiest, most joyful, absolute, happy-go-lucky. You know, we should just be so much more than we are. I just think that the Satan just gets into our minds because he can't steal our salvation, but he can confuse and cloud us. So we're walking around thinking, oh, it's just so hard. It's just so hard being a Christian. Oh, you know, oh. And you just think all this, the world comes at you. You look at politics. You look at all this stuff, but you think, hang on a minute. I've got the resurrected Christ inside me. Who am I to walk with my head like this? Who am I to muddle through life? And we have got the resurrected Christ in us. So we should walk tall through the storms of life. We should be able to walk into situations and just go bang. We should be able to walk into places, workplaces, colleges, wherever we work, wherever we find ourselves. We take with us that Easter message. We take it everywhere with us. We should be able to walk into situations and change them. Just say, bam, you know, bam. Just take the Holy Spirit in and just say, I don't know. I was up at Whitehaven, just had a word of knowledge for somebody. I think we forget that. We forget that sometimes God prompts us. We've got so much power inside us because of, not because of anything we've done, but because we've got Jesus inside us. It was sin that led to evil and destruction and sickness and death. But what happened on Easter? God just flipped it. God just flipped it. And now we've got life. And because we've got life, we've got authority over sickness. And we've got authority over sin in our lives. Even death. We've got authority over death. That is true. Just because we don't know how to use it properly, and we don't know how to exercise that authority properly, it doesn't make it any less true. It doesn't make it any less true. The truth is, you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, the same Spirit of God that was hovering over the waters before the world was even created. You've got the Spirit inside you that conquered death, that killed death, man. That is the Spirit that's inside each and every Christian in this room today. Whether you believe that or not, or know how to exercise that power, I don't know. We're trying, aren't we? What I'm excited about in our church is there seems to be a wave at the moment of expectancy, and you know, there's a wave of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how big it is. I don't know when it's going to end. I'm just enjoying riding it at the moment with you guys. But it's definitely something in the atmosphere in this church where we're expecting more. We're bringing more pictures, more prophecies, more words of knowledge. And that's great. We're just learning to ride the wave, aren't we, with the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about that. But there's more. There's so much more. There's so much more. So, I felt challenged this week by God. And he reminded me that we do take the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. Now, I really felt God say to me, and it's probably for other people in this room as well, the power that you take into the workplace, into the college, into your home, is dependent to some extent about how much you care. I'll explain what I mean. It's dependent to some extent on how much you care, how much you give a toss. And what I mean by that is that we have got the power to change stuff if we want. It's just a question of how much do you care and how much does it really mean to you. You have got power in your life over sin issues. So if people here today bound by sin issues, sin, repent, I'm not even sorry, just me. No. You have got the power to change that sin issue in your life and live a holy life, because the Bible says that his divine power has given you everything you need for life and for godliness, right? End of. So whether it's gossiping, whether it's overspending, whether it's slagging people off, maybe it's whatever it is, you can control that. You just don't care. Just me. I've been working at Blackpool College. I'll probably get in trouble for this if it goes on tape, actually. As per Ben, please edit this out. No, don't. You can keep in. But I've been working as a data manager for Blackpool and the Fylde College, but my background's in software development. And what I can do in the department that I'm in, I can make massive improvements to their processes. I can write scripts and processes in an hour that will save them days and days and days. In my first year, I got this chuffy badge, the Excellence in Business Innovation Award. I got this award for being the person that's had the biggest impact on the college and been there the least time. I saved them, I don't know, basically I can take a day off. I can take a full day off because I've automated so much stuff. Now, one of the things is, working there, then if you know about IT, your network guys and your desktop guys, they sit at the top of the tree. If you're in charge of the network, you are godlike. You decide what people get to do on their PCs. You get to decide if they can even right-click their mouse or not. You decide the permissions these guys underneath you get, right? And there's a pain in the neck to deal with as well. Oh, it's an absolute pain in the neck to deal with. But because I do a little bit of software development, what I get is something called local admin. So I'm a local admin. So I can do a little bit more on my machine than most other people can. I'm not a domain admin. I'm not God. I've got a little bit of power. I can right-click my mouse and I can run something as administrator. Right, so I've got a little bit of power in me, but I'm still the network, and the domain is in charge of what I do. This is what I'm talking about. If you are a Christian, you have local admin rights on your box. You're not a normal person. You've got a little bit more power than you realize. Yeah? And there's stuff that you can change. There is stuff that you can change in your places of work, in your schools, communities, at the school gate, because your bog standard person doesn't have any kind of control. You've got local admin rights over your lives, and you might have to just get so riled up. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change it. I've had enough. But you can do that. You can change things. It might be a daily battle. You might wake up in the morning and think, oh no, it's come back again. Right, we're having it again. Because you've got the resurrected Christ dwells within you, guys. And you can make changes. You can change the world. And you know what the beautiful thing is? I cannot give anybody else admin rights on their PCs. I've just got it. It's been given to me. But you guys can. I can't do it. I could probably come. I couldn't do it every day. Now, I've lost myself in a metaphor. Where am I? You cannot give anybody else local admin rights. You can't believe for somebody else. I wish I could believe for our Nathan. I wish I could believe for our Kyle. I wish I could believe for people, but I can't. But you can introduce them to the Holy Spirit. You can introduce them to the person who can empower them. You can do that. You can do that. Yeah. You can. I'm going to leave it there. I was going to say some more mad stuff, but I've probably said enough. I've probably done enough damage. Guys, we've got the Holy Spirit inside us. Matt, do you want to come and just... Have you got a riff that you can do, like... Just like a Holy Spirit riff. Yeah. I just think it'd be the Holy Spirit riff. Yeah, this is the one. He's here. He's not here yet, but he'll come in a minute. guys, I just thought it'd be really good to... I think we'll do a traditional Easter thing. Because I think sometimes our hearts can become dull to it, can't they? You know, oh, she ran to the tomb and this, that and the other. And so, yeah, we've been through it so many times. What I want you to do this Easter is I'd love it if we could just kind of give ourselves to God afresh and receive from him an increased measure of the Holy Spirit. I'd really love for the Holy Spirit to come and you say, do you know this Easter? This Easter, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a change. I am going to see breakthrough in my life. I am going to see at least one person saved before next year. Because I've got the resurrected power of Christ inside me. And it might be a loved one, it might be a family member, it might be somebody you work with, I don't care who it is. But I just thought it'd be good this Easter. We're celebrating life from death. We're celebrating resurrection. I want us to respond. And I want us to make two responses. One, more God. God, more of your spirit. I cannot do this myself, God. God, I need more of you inside me. And the second one is boldness. God, I can see people struggling. They don't have the same power and authority that I've got. And they're suffering. They're being exploited by the world. They're being taken advantage of, God. And I can pray and I can intercede for them, God, but only they can believe. God, please break through. We want to see breakthrough. We want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed, don't we? So would you stand with me, guys? And let's just receive from God. I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit just to come and breathe on us. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just you can do this if you want. There's no rules about it. You can just open your heart and just say, more God. More God. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence that dwells within us. Jesus Christ, thank you for the cost. Thank you for the cost, God. Jesus, teach us to exercise the authority that you've given us. Teach us, Lord. God, we've got the resurrected Christ inside us. We've got everything that we need inside us, God. Would you come and fill our cups more, Lord? Would you increase our knowledge and understanding of what it means to walk in your power, God? God, would you give us a heart that breaks for the lost? Would you give us a heart that is outraged when we see the works of the enemy in people's lives? Oh, God. Give us the boldness to go John Wick on the enemy, God. Give us the boldness, God. We're not having it. We're not having it anymore, God. We won't be an ineffective church in Blackpool. We will not be ineffective. Would you make us angry, God? Would you make us righteously angry? When we see the lost and the broken exploited in a society that just doesn't care. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. God, it's all about the passion, isn't it? You know, it's all about the passion. Give us the same passion Jesus had. He would speak out. He would lash out. He would kick off with the enemy when he saw his works. But he was also so full of love and compassion, ready to reveal the Father to people. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.